This is session number 243, recorded on January 28th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6:48 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Yeah, now we're going to do miscellaneous topics. Is there anything that's on your mind that you'd like to bring up first?
Yes, there is. The word miscellaneous.
Yeah.
Is that miscellaneous as in odd fellows or the misaligning of a topic you're actually interested in?
Miscellaneous is a hodgepodge gathering. So that might be odd fellows.
That wouldn't be aligned.
That wouldn't be aligned, I guess.
Yeah. Because isn't that interesting? That miscellaneous, that's the way many human creators actually functionally live their lives. And we call that by default, and you do too. But the thing, they're rolling along, and these little hodgepodge things come into their life, and then sometimes they overrun them, and then it's a miscellaneous effect that it kind of gets crowded or jumbled or not straight.
Right, that's the second thing about being aligned?
Yes, exactly.
Miscellaneous is unaligned, unaligned?
Yes. Yes, yes. And to it, from a hodgepodge scenario of, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one. But when I put them all together on the shelf, that miscellaneous collection doesn't please me.
Right.
But I like them all individually. But when I start putting them together in the focus of my life stream, it's not what I had in mind. But individually, they were all delicious.
Yeah, that makes me think of what people mean when someone's life is messy. They engage a lot of things, but the synergy or the total output is mess. They didn't notice the effects of all of them together.
And so that would be a miscellaneous collage,
yeah,
of experiences.
A collage of miscellany is another.
Miscellany, yeah, miscellany, good.
Yeah, I remember there was a collection of Charles Dickens stories when he was a journalist, or columns and editorials or whatever, and they called it miscellany. That's a collective noun, I think. Miscellany.
Yes. You made a very interesting observation with Sheila,
mm-hmm,
referencing Speaking to Us, and it was a hair odd way to describe it, but after you did it, we really, 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 really liked it.
And was this after the reading or before the reading? Or during
the reading?
During the reading, okay. What did I say?
Well, it was your point about that we respond to nouns.
Oh, yeah. That was
euphoric. And the reason that it was euphoric is because all humans do.
Yeah, nouns and verbs?
Well, no, you have to apply the verb, but if you don't have a noun, you're lost.
Mm.
The verb tells you the tense, the verb tells you the activity, the action, but without the noun, you don't know what that refers to. But if you have the noun, then you can look at the verb and see what it's actually saying through your, what you call your process of conjugation.
And nouns are the appearance of a figure ground, or this, not that. So you probably don't have nouns in non-physical, because there's no contrast. So
correct.
Nouns come out of contrast in our physical experience.
And that seems to be, when we non-physical, you say, I don't want cotton candy. We don't hear the I, we don't hear the don't want, we hear cotton candy. And that's how it activates within you, because that's how you human creators do it.
Yeah, you are us.
Either.
You respond as us, and we're now.
Have to. Otherwise, and every time we don't, you don't understand.
Right. We are nouns. And you can only respond to what we are, and we're nouners, so you respond to nouns. That's what we are. So you become us.
These would be references known as nounisms.
Yeah.
You might want to get that, Connie.
Okay. No, that's interesting. So other times I thought it was verbs, but you're emphasizing more the noun.
We didn't. You did. And then we like it.
Right. So
we
that,
hated it before you said it, but after you said it, we liked it really greatly.
So before I said it, you knew I had the thought.
Yes, and knew where you were going with it. We were going to smite you.
But then when you heard it, you heard it in the physical.
And once we engaged it, once you embraced it after you said it, all of a sudden it worked perfectly for us.
Again, it's you. There is no you. It's all us, in a way.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. There is no non-physical. It is, but there is no non-physical, and we could not know it. In our terms, we could not know it in
think
not
about
our
it, like,
terms.
Think
it's
about
only
it,
known
like,
in our terms, and you're only speaking in our terms, and you actually are nowhere near, as we hear the words, what you actually are.
Yes. Do you know the show Taxi?
I remember it. Saw it maybe.
And then
once.
you had Danny DeVito,
yeah.
And all those different. Well, Lotke was the foreigner.
Okay.
Who didn't speak any good English.
Right.
And he really stressed every noun and everything was, thank you very much, thank you very much. Well, his whole language base was in the nouns.
Mm.
And so it was so fun how he'd get things screwed up from taking wrong tenses of verbs, but all he heard was the noun part.
Right.
That's an example that people can go, oh, yeah, that was like that. Well, that communication break. Now, Lotke was able to communicate. He understood. But in his reference, it was very difficult for him to share information from the nounisms, for which was his basic understanding of what you call the English language.
You mean he didn't get the nouns, or that's all he heard?
That's all he stressed. He could hear, but he couldn't communicate.
He could only stress the nouns.
Yes, and therefore it was that he would get the things tangled up.
Right.
In his communication, you see. But he only spoke in nouns.
So that's why he went, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And much is a noun in his mind. And where's the noun in there? Thank you very much.
Well, it would be you.
Oh, okay. Thank you,
you
very much.
You are thanked very much.
Okay. All right, so that's what you wanted to mention. That's a nice point to make. So we go with that. That's party line now. Ion responds to nouns, because we are nouns, and ion is not what we think it is, and we could not think what it is.
Neither is God.
Right, so we can tune into it by, in a way, almost knowing it's there, but ignoring it and allowing it to activate. Is it helpful to know that it's helping you, or is that too much actionated thinking?
Actionated. You're starting to sound like us, Bob. Actionated.
Well, my non-physical is merging with the physical. My kingdom has come.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's deal with what I said, though. What the hell was actionated? See, we lost it.
We didn't.
Okay, answer me. I don't. Yeah. To focus on the non-physical, to say it's helping me, is that too much action? Should I ignore the non-physical, knowing it's helping me?
No. If you can ask and answer the question, if it's the fastest path to your joy, engage it, Bob. And just being, see, you can't put that out to the world as a meme, because there aren't a handful of human creators that do it the way you do.
Hmm. You can't put out what? You can't put out the thing, right. That's not the way to do it.
For everyone else. Yeah. Now, so if it doesn't work, then yes, of course. And we've already made reference that that's how Bob does it. Nah,
yeah.
We're not going to have that. Then he shows up and he's like, Hey, Carolyn, is what showed up? Well, the thing that you said no to, Bob. Did I say no to that? Nah, I didn't say no to that. I don't say no to anything. And then she's like, right, Bob, okay, but it's here. Are you going to use it or not? Nah, I'm not going to use it. I don't know how it got here. I didn't have anything to do with it. I don't even know where I am. I don't know why we're discussing this. Well, Bob, it's because you asked. Carolyn, what did I ask you? What were we talking about? I want to know what we were talking about so I can know whether or not you were answering my asked question that I didn't know I asked because I knew that I didn't want it, but it did. So it showed up, and now I want to know for you to tell me if it's okay if we engage it. Nah, Bob, we're not going to engage it. Okay. And then you asked her a really serious question, and she says, no, under no certain terms, do it this direction. Well, everybody can do whatever they want to do anyway, so they're going to do it, so we're going to let them do it, and we're just going to be fine. She's like, well, fine, then don't engage them. Just leave them alone. If they're going to do what they're going to do, you certainly don't have to join the drinking binge party of giving them permission to do it. Well, okay, so we can just let it go. Right, okay, because people are going to do what they're going to do anyway. Nah, people aren't going to do what they're going to do. They're only going to do what non-physical allows them to do. What do you mean? Now, that little fun twist and turn thing, that works for you. And we don't have a problem with that. Are we good? Prolific way of relaxing and allowing, okay? Maintaining your stance of culpable deniability. But the average Joe thinks that they are very progressive in their lineage. They're still running a linear path, a string theory. They're still going step upon step upon step, and that's how they arrive. It's inch by inch, step by step, slowly I turn. You see? So that's the way they don't know any different. Now, that's not bad. They just don't have a clue that there's another dynamic that's there available. And that's why your private reading this afternoon was so delicious, because it was a genuine, full interest in another dynamic that they were already all but jumped into the river regarding.
Already jumped into what?
The river.
They'd already jumped in the river, yeah.
Yeah, they already bought the plane ticket, and then they were asking if it was okay.
Right.
See?
I thought you meant they jumped in. J.W. thought that she was rather enlightened.
Yes, of course, of course. To engage, anyone who would engage your ion or us, they're trying to sift it out in their mind.
And she,
they don't have to agree with us. We like it. Actually, we like it when they don't.
But she enjoyed it. I liked her enjoyment of.
Yes. Well, but you're sitting there. They're sitting there wondering about this business, and then they engage us, and then we tell them every dynamic, down to their new boyfriend's genitalia size, if that's what they want. But they would really want all that. But they're just amazed at how the little nuances that are a big deal to them, we just know. It's
right.
Not mentioned, it's not discussed, it's not pointed, it's not has anything to do with it. And then they're like amazed. Well, all they're amazed by is their own non-physical resonating with them.
Yeah, their own non-physical resonating with them.
Yes. Which, of course, as you well know, that's where all of our information comes from.
Yeah.
So it's not very psychic if someone's telling you the answers, is it?
But they don't believe they're that intimately exposed.
Well, there's lots they don't believe.
Yeah, they don't believe they're that exposed. They're that transparent.
Yeah, get you something to sip on before you strangle on your own tongue.
Okay, Cal. Okay, here's another topic. Okay, so I enjoyed her energy and the way she was giggling and laughing and sort of appreciating the originality.
She was a little shaken, though.
She was a little shaken.
She was a little shaken. There was a point where she was coming into a place of going, wait a minute, we already know. Well, we might as well discuss it. Well, but we don't want to discuss this. We don't want to discuss this. We don't want to discuss this. we didn't, because we don't want to talk about something more than the human creator's asking. We tiptoe through the tulips sometimes, but it's just laying foundational work. You see, some people are so repressed in their appreciation of their non-physical that it becomes just like a loud thundering boom. You know, once you let all, when, you can let the air out of the balloon very slowly, and then it's like, or you can do it with a pin and it pop. Mm. See, the effect is the same. The air is released from the balloon. But how you go about doing it, you see, becomes a very different dynamic.
Yeah, there was a point when some person, when she wanted to talk about her relationships.
Yeah.
She brought it up, and it was sort of like,
uh-oh.
The tone was, I wouldn't have, but now I'm going to. She uh-huh. said it, you could tell before that she wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, right.
But then she opened up.
Well, because she began to trust herself.
Mm.
And we weren't going to take a place that would have been uncomfortable or painful. You see what I mean? Unless it was being addressed. But we weren't going to point out their less than-ness.
Right.
Because they're not less than. But they're afraid that they are less than, and that if someone else knows that, they'll use that to push them into a position of understanding that they're screwed and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, they're afraid that others will find out and push her into a position of not being able to do anything about it.
Right. Yeah. Indirectly, yeah. Either way it goes is right. But yeah, and see, that's what's fun. But then at the end of the day, they come right back to feeling way better about everything.
Yeah.
We didn't say it wouldn't cause more questions, but then you just got the sifter moving faster. That's all that's happening. You're sitting at a faster rate than you were before.
So what does she look like? Is she tall, short, middle, black hair, redhead, blonde?
The hair color changes.
Yeah.
It's now a sandy, brownish, medium build.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what medium build is. She's a little bit taller, so if you put her on the scales, she might, you know, she's not going to weigh 100 pounds. But at the same time, she would, you know, be still demure or balanced in her figure.
Okay, you're saying she's 100 pounds, but...
No. She would be 100 pounds.
She could.
Would not be.
Right. I mean, she's heavier.
Yeah, but we're not saying heavier as in obese. We're saying just taller and proportioned and, you know, a little more than 100 pounds. But very balanced would be what you call a slim figure,
mm-hmm.
but not sickly.
Right. And, see, how old is she? She in her 30s, 40s? She's older than 20s, right?
Yes. We don't know age.
Right. There was a point where it was implied that she was a student of art, but I don't think so, right? She's not a student.
No. Well, good artists are all... Picasso died a student of
right.
art.
Right. But I meant technically a student.
No. Where you got the student from was from her... feng shui, energy, polarity, gobbledygookity, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, here's another topic.
Notice we weren't specifically moved by that.
Right. Okay, you're slipping the metaphor back and forth.
So you can finally get this to your satisfaction so you can be good with it.
Well, who would know in the Geithner context? He's supposed to know. He's chairman of the... whatever he is, what is he? He's Secretary of Treasury.
He's not sure either, Bob.
Yeah, so that he is supposed to know, but are you saying the people who do know are not on the radar?
No, clarify that so we don't answer it wrongly.
Yes.
Be clear, because...
They're not in the visible public spectrum. They're not being clear.
Who is not visibly in the public spectrum?
The ones who know.
Who know what?
Know where the money went, or whatever Geithner is being challenged about,
Okay. Well, no, the question then comes into very clearly, where did the TARP money come from?
Right, and is there someone who knows where it came from?
No.
That's interesting, but somebody floated it.
Who?
Yeah, who?
No one floated it. They wrote a check to themselves and cashed it.
All right, who wrote the check to themselves? Who?
Well, that would have been your congressmen and senators.
Right, and what committee would have done that?
House Senate Finance Committee.
So they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now
they had to. They had to vote to approve it, but they didn't vote to approve to appropriate the money. They voted to do it. They didn't vote to sell the bonds to raise the money to print the money to do it with.
Who did that?
The Senate and the House.
Oh, the Finance Committee said something, and then the Senate House voted on it.
Right. But they voted on whether or not to do it. But they didn't have the power to vote on whether or not to do it. They would have had to vote to sell the bonds to raise the money to provide the TARP financing.
And they didn't do that.
No, and it just added it to the debt. Added it to the debt. Added to the debt.
That's what they did? They just added it to the debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking, Carolyn, yesterday or today, that Gulliver's Travels, written by John Swift.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I think of Ion as a giant, and he's talking to the little Lilliputians.
The Lilliputians.
Right. Now, was Jonathan Swift, some of his writings in that book are pretty prophetic, or he predicted the fate of science and things like that. Was he manifesting non-physical, and he saw himself as a huge giant because he had a...
No. His was more from a his whole dynamic of writing style,
yeah,
and ideology came from what you call clairaudience and from astral projection.
Wow.
He was having these fun, lucid experiences in his slumber that were so real. He convinced himself that the storyline worked, then he convinced the publisher to publish it, then others got a hold of it and they resonated with it, till it became a pretty fun work.
Well, they resonated with it and they added to it?
That.
You see, he got the contract and then he wrote it, like, and then you say others involved him and they helped him write it? Is that what, see how
no,
you...
No, Bob, others were interested, it became a bestseller.
Oh, okay, once it was out.
It was extreme literature of its day.
Right, it's called a Manipian satire, you know, extreme. Right, and people liked it. You mean once a few copies got out and people read it, they liked it, and then more were printed, is what you're saying.
Okay,
so he was astroprojecting. He wasn't parallel world traveling. He was astroprojecting and dreaming. What was the other thing? Astroprojecting and...
Clairaudience.
So was he traveling along the past, present, future spectrum?
Within and out the kingdoms, yes.
Yeah, within this present, this immediate now.
Yes, and then it gave the extreme versions. You see, which in the book wasn't near as tall as the Lilliputians were small. But when it went to movie and when it actually got the adaptations done to it, that's when it became this Jack and the Beanstalk giant.
Right.
It wasn't so large in the actual writing.
So that's why it was a bit prophetic about the fate of science and that, because he saw where it was going in the future?
Yes.
He saw.
And he, like the Justice Department, Mr. Swift, had a shiny, shiny bob on a string. And he was waving it out there, and he said, shiny, shiny, to see if they'd bite or not.
And they bit.
They did.
And so he was considered, he went nuts in the end of his life, but he was known as Dean.
Well, some would say he was always nuts, but...
Right. Dean Swift, it was his name. Or he was Dean of the Church, I think.
Uh-huh.
Was he in Dublin? I think it was in Dublin, Irish. Dean Swift... So, did he, was he in an aberrated state of mind in his end of his life.
Not in his opinion. Just because someone else thought it was didn't mean it was for him.
And was it? Was it? He appeared different because he was applying his dream life and learning a lot from it, and therefore.
No, he was playing with opiates, and it kind of got him outside of himself, and then it kind of he started believing his own candor.
Hmm.
And then to add the opiates made that. See, opiate addiction will make you feel pain to draw yourself to the opiate.
Hmm.
Where the phantom pain causes it, that's that addiction part. Now, Carolyn's joining us here in a bit, but that's the whole trick with opiate usage. If you take enough opiates, painkillers, to cover the pain, no matter how much or how long, you never become addicted to it. It's when you take the drug without the pain that it becomes an addiction process. But regardless of how much pain you have, if you take just enough of the opiate to cover the pain and no more, then you're good. You don't really even have to be weaned off of it.
Mm.
Because as your pain lessens, then your opiate use would lessen to the point that you would basically take yourself off of it after it had passed. But if you ever start taking it in exchange or increasing it beyond your threshold of pain, then your body becomes dependent on it and you require it and you have withdrawals regarding it.
It's okay.
Very interesting. And he got caught into that whole process. I mean, he wasn't like a morphine hound or anything, but he did start easing into that process to dull the sensory perception of his reality. Dulling the sensory perception of his very own reality.
He was at the time of, you know, the print book creating celebrities, the first kind of mass media celebrity. So he had to deal with a bit of his fame. That was a reaction to his fame.
He was never the mainstreamer.
Right.
He got to mainlining after a while, but he wasn't the mainstreamer.
What opiate did he take?
Opium.
Opium, which is we know as heroin.
Oh, well, no. Not necessarily. It was the poppy opium.
Mm. Where does heroin come from, Carol?
It's distilled from opium.
No, he just didn't distill it.
Right.
McLuhan loved the Dunciad, which is under Alexander Pope's name. But there was a satirical journal before that that Pope contributed to with Swift and someone else, with three or four of them. What did Alexander Pope think of Swift? There's the Dunciad, which is an interesting thing, and McLuhan says that Alexander Pope in the later parts of the Dunciad, the later version, 1742 or so, was complaining about the beginning of the dulling of the public by too many books, too many romance novels and all this stuff. It's actually documenting the dark ages. Yes, he would agree with Ion that he saw the disservice of the printing press.
Of course.
Would you agree that that's an accurate way to interpret the Dunciad?
Yes, and then what did the Dunciad do? It was being prolifically expanded by the printing press.
Yeah, you mean it became well known, or it?
Well, yeah. Without the printing press, no one would have known of the Dunciad.
Did he understand the irony of that?
Well, he used it as his soapbox. Here we go.
Yeah.
You have a soapbox that you put down and you get up to stand so you're head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
So that you can preach what you want said. And you're preaching against soap.
Right.
Okay? But the soapbox that you're standing on had to be emptied of the soap to get the soapbox to get you head and shoulders above, talking about all the fallout of the nastiness of using all the soap. But without the misuse of the soap of the printing press, then there would have never been a recollection or a soapbox for him to stand on to preach about. So, now, if that's not McLuhanism, we don't know one.
No, that's McLuhanism, and probably James Joyce saw that. He was influenced by the Dunciad, apparently, and Pope, so he he did the underpinnings of the further irony of Pope's position. Because
right. It would be like writing a blog about the perils of internet blogging.
And that's definitely what McLuhan saw clearly after Joyce made it extreme. So I don't want to get talking to Joyce, but there was the Rape of the Lock, in my mind, by Alexander Pope, had a character named Belinda, I think. And is that who Joyce in Finnegans Wake modeled the hen on? She was called Belinda the Hen.
Not completely. They were dynamics, you see. He would take a snippet of something and then grow it into a whole something else.
Right, yeah.
It'd be
on recognition of its source.
Correct. And when it would use that as the beginning place and then would add to or
it would lose its reference to what it started, what it's
correct.
Was
you
started.
Could recognize it at the end of the day, but the essence of it was indeed that, but not solely on that. Good.
Yeah, like, am I right that the person in Rape of the Lock is called Belinda? Like, I haven't checked it up, it's in my memory.
Yeah, Belinda or Belenia or some funny spelling of it, but it's Belinda, Belindia, something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to just try that. Rape of the Lock, because she's the one who's at the mirror. Rape of the Lock, maybe loses her lock. Belinda. See if it comes up. Pair of scissors and manages on the third try to cut off the coveted lock of Belinda's hair. Yep, it's Belinda. Pope's portrayal of Belinda and her society in his poem, The Rape of the Lock. Okay. All right, so I want to go into some...
No, I
want to
ask something.
Okay.
Hi, Ion.
Hi, dear.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could talk about my head being spaced out and my the heel of my left foot still hurting after a month.
Uh-huh. Yes. They are.
First of all, what can you tell me what my head being spaced out is?
Well, because you can't unknow some of these things you're knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having to slow down a bit on the part you're digesting in your information superhighway because all of a sudden it's all starting to sync up and work and you've been laying much conduit in the pathways of your mind, understanding and not offending your labyrinth, but you've been so busy doing your plumbing that you've not been coherent regarding the pressure that all that extra pipage...
Mm-hmm.
That has been laying.
Mm-hmm.
So you still get the frontal lobe stuff, but now you're having some of the side and top of your head stuff extra.
Mm-hmm.
And that spaciness of just not quite dizzy like Bob was, but it's almost kind of like swoony kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. And we'd say add magnesium.
Well, you told me the last time to cut back on magnesium.
Well, you must have cut it too much or didn't add your homeopathic zinc.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot my zinc.
But it's coming on market day. You can pick up a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
And we're not talking about voluminous, 25, 50 million equivalents would be plenty.
Okay.
And you don't have to go 200 or anything crazy, just a bit.
Never.
Well, and I mean, like I say, you'd maybe almost be taking a child's dose anyway. If you work out the mass necrometer of the weight differential, you'd be at a 12-year-old dose.
Yeah, and
Little women.
It's interesting about the digestion because I haven't, I'm not hardly eating much at all, and I still feel full, and the digestion is really, seem to be overloaded. Interesting.
Right. And that's that balance. Now, here you go. Stem to stern seems the problem's role. Stem to stern seem the problem's role.
Seen, S-E-E-N?
Stem. stem, S-T-E-M.
Mm-hmm. To start.
From the top of your head to the soles of the heel of your foot.
Oh, yeah.
They're connected, you see.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, your left heel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't the Achilles tendon, but what is the Achilles tendon attached to?
The calcaneus.
And the calcaneus is the base of the side base of your heel
mm-hmm.
apparatus, is it not?
Right.
Okay. And there's nothing physical wrong.
Well, there was. I mean, for a couple of weeks there was pain, swelling, inflammation, then it went to bruising, and then it went to actually a big blister that sloughed off the other day. So like, there was a whole physical thing of, and you said I was stomping snakes, but I never injured my heel.
Well, then it can't be bruised and inflamed and blistered, and if that's true, you see, you've talked yourself out of the whole dynamic.
Right. Well, I mean, I didn't know that in this world,
and
I didn't physically injure myself, but it was still there.
And
I don't know what happened.
Well, let's go back a bit.
Well, because you started saying, so, and there's nothing there to see, and I said,
we did not say that. We said there's nothing physically wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, now you have a manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing physically that you did in this world that caused this neuropathy or pain.
Correct.
But yet it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also spacey in your head with pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you did there. But you're not letting Bob put your head in a vise at night, are you?
I don't think so, but you never know. I mean,
that
pillow you kept talking about in the radio show the other day.
That was pressure. That was a fly. That was applied pressure, but we would never want to out you on the air, my love.
Yeah, right.
That's what it feels like sometimes, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we were bootlegging the kingdom a bit, even with the ones we love most.
Mm-hmm.
For giving a tactile example of what you're really, really, really feeling.
Yeah.
So now, is it broken, or does it feel like it's broken? Well, it doesn't matter until you do an x-ray.
No.
But the feeling place is the same whether you get the x-ray or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the pressure that's building up because you're laying all this new conduit,
mm-hmm.
you have to increase the pressure to fill all these extra pipes that you're laying.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? Then that comes into your balance. On one hand or on one foot, all is well. But on the other foot, it's almost like a really nasty stone bruise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But you go, I haven't got a stone bruise.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like a stone bruise. It's very, very sensitive and tender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and also it causes in the nighttime, how many times do you find yourself chasing those crazy pillows and your knees and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I move around a lot in bed.
Well, but they get away from you, and they didn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
The knee pillow that you use, you'd go to bed with a knee pillow, and even though you move, you'd wake up with a knee pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you find yourself a couple of times a night with pain. Well, not pain, but the pressure, you know, with the knees being together, you find yourself looking for your pillow.
And why is that?
The same thing that's caused your heel to kind of go awry.
What?
On your left side.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
What is causing me to chase my pillow and have my left heel go awry?
The overload of the conduit in your brain, it has to have a reason. Has to have a reason
mm-hmm.
or a manifestation that's showing up to give you the opportunity to ask and answer, what is it about you, contrast, that I'm feeling that's causing my heel to blister
mm-hmm.
and sluff off and do?
Mm-hmm.
Your body's trying to tell you, and your non-physical is trying to help you, and your mind is trying to confound you.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so which way you want to go at it? You just want the scientific empirical reference of it, or do you want non-physical's intake on it, or do you want us to dance in the balance of your labyrinth of your mind so you can address it, your pleasure, our profundity?
I want to address it.
Okay. All right, here you go. Lay your conduit and slow the pressure down a little bit. Ease off the gas a little bit in the new dynamics that you're getting, because you're getting lots of new stuff. You're starting to remember more.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think I'm not getting anywhere. And, you know, I always
On one foot, you're hitting on all cylinders. And then on the other foot, you've kind of lamed it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you always excel at whatever you do, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And one hand, or on one side, on your right side, mm-hmm. on your right side, you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. But on your wrong side, left side, wrong, left, right, wrong, right, we don't know. But on the other side, you find yourself in a wounded, bruised
mm-hmm.
state of allowing.
Mm-hmm.
Can't take pressure on your left foot because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your body saying it hurts, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And now your pain threshold is very, very, very different than that husband of yours.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, he could think about having it, and it's like, oh, wait, stop the presses. We're going to deal with this right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could make it relax and allow and just sort of go with it and give it the opportunity to adjust itself back into wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
Where he ain't having that. You know, it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
call the neurologist now. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just different. See, your basis of, okay, we'll let this work run its course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've done action regarding it.
Well, I've done relax and allow and all the little. Yeah, I mean, I have yet to run off to the chiropractor. I just.
Oh yeah, no. We don't mean that. We mean if it's the labyrinth of your mind that's causing the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal with it. The chiropractor won't do you a next bit of good, darling.
I know. That's why haven't gone.
Yeah, good. But to say you're relaxed and allowing is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, it should have either one or two things should have happened. It should have naturally gone away and adjusted and corrected itself, or it should have gotten bigger because whatever the contrast was, to bring it to your undivided attention so you could deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to us like, now we don't know, we're just non-physical, but it sounds to us that it's come to a head, and now you want the grits and gravy of the details of what the hell's going on, because it's coming to a head.
Well, it was improving, and I started to walk to the beach again, and then it got worse again where I can't do the walk, so I thought it was better, and then it's not.
Okay, and so you started to deal with it, but then you didn't.
I guess, right.
Well, now, if you don't like the words, let's get words you do like. But it seems to, though, that your body was naturally correcting itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a fallout or a redistribution of the pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're not talking about a headache anymore. You're talking about a spaciness.
Yeah.
Now, just define what you're exactly. Now, You know how you do in a consultation? You want your client to be very clear and tell you the straight of it so you can help, correct?
Yeah, it's like a heat-oppressed brain, and the eyes are a little more tired and a little hot, and just feel...
And this always happens when you get into something new, the hotness of, well, we don't say hot because that's what you said, but when you get into the feverish pitch mm-hmm. of a new dynamic, that's where this shows up. It's kind of like, well, here's another thing. Well, I haven't got the last another thing done, and now I've got another thing to do,
mm-hmm.
and I've got to lay all this, you know, you're spending all your energy laying conduit,
mm-hmm.
laying pipe, and you're like, well, I want the plumbing to work.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting anywhere at all yet. I keep on having to do all this.
Well, you don't have to do anything, but you're wanting it to be the fastest path to your joy.
Right. Here I am wanting to do all this and not think I'm getting anywhere.
Well, we don't know that we agree. We think you're getting further than you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm.
not quite caught up yet, see, because
mm-hmm.
you're still laying pipe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're putting in the plumbing, you're putting in an irrigation system, and you're a little thirsty because the water isn't watering the flowers or the yard.
Right.
And you can't because you're still laying plumbing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on one foot, everything is great. Pressure's great. Everything's going good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? On the other foot, it would be almost, seems like that it would be much better if you had an increased amount of circulation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You had better circulation, that bruising, that leftover residue of subdural blood
mm-hmm.
would have been displaced.
Yeah, okay.
Correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is stem to stern.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure behind your right ear.
Mm-hmm.
If not, now we're not talking about ring the bells of heaven, because you know about that. You deal with that.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the little bit of extra pressure behind your ear.
Yeah, well, it's more down, more toward the neck, the capacitor area. And I've mentioned that
bump,
area before.
That bump behind your ear to where it sort of attaches to the neck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're more accurate than we were wrong. It's
okay.
The same place. That's also a. Why don't we keep using the word capacitor? Because we don't think that's what that is. But
I know that's what the aware Dave Worster called it. I don't know what they are.
Okay. But it's
the occipital. Protuberance.
Yes. Well, within that pressure point, it's built for pressure.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
See, that's what you designed it for.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is you're getting a little tenderness or maybe like like when you sort of stretch your obliques a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you feel it, it would kind of sore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not sore, tender.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that shows up as.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's because you're still laying pipe.
Okay.
And so your pressure's backing up because it can't flow.
Okay.
And so we have some suggestions.
Yay!
Unless you just want to talk about the wrongness of it all.
No.
Good. Okay, here we go. You can take a break from laying new pipe for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't see, because you're so used to being so productive.
Mm-hmm.
You are productive. You can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see it as productive. You see it as spinning your wheels, and I got 14 chapters and 27 things and 99 books,
mm-hmm.
and there's just more and more and more, and I can't even keep track of the mega upload, downloads,
mm-hmm.
overloads, and
mm-hmm.
now I'm moving this to that and figuring out this to that and all this energy and work I've done before. I added this slash and that dot and that point
mm-hmm.
up,
mm-hmm.
and then this gets all tangled up, and then I'm 10,000 hours behind, and I can't do the stuff I want to do, and I've got all this to do that I can't get done because I can't get this stuff, and I can't get the mega uploads to work,
mm-hmm.
and my foot hurts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? So you'd ground yourself till you got the work done. Because you're like, well, I don't deserve to go to the beach and play.
Yeah.
I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
I can't be doing all this. Mm-hmm. Then I have consultations, which I love and enjoy and I appreciate. And then we have the readings. And then there's scheduling. And then there's the money stuff. And then there's, you know, I'm a marvelous creator that's a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not fussing. You're not fussing or complaining.
Mm-hmm.
We understand. But you would like it to flow more freely to just be as a matter of answering an email pop, you know, and you don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You can do 1,000 emails a day and do everything else you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's no problem. And deal with it and click it off and just like, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. Bam. Okay, we're good. Next. Mm-hmm. But the break is the seamless flow.
The breakdown,
the pressure point is this. You want the fruits of your labor to be made self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get it. Well, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. And then you do, and then you don't. You see, it's a back and forth. But you're constantly proceeding. Because look at the conversation that we're having now and what we would have had 9 months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A way different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because now you got all the catchwords and all the points of reference.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it. And
mm-hmm.
you got, well, great, Ion, I got it. Now what the hell do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the fish, but I've had plenty of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now. Ease off the new conduit.
Mm-hmm.
Focus back on what you appreciate about this voluminous work you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Limit it to an hour. And pick the things that turn you on at that moment.
Limit what to an hour?
Working on your chapters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And don't just look at it, well, I've got to get this. Okay, screw that noise. Pick something that's exciting, that's interesting, and do it in an hour and then quit. Okay, I have 1 hour. No more, no less.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Or two, whatever you like. You know, we can't say that because sometimes you work all day on something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just as it strikes you. 4 o'clock in the morning, you're up hitting it like a house of fire.
Mm-hmm.
But only pick those things that make it flow easy. And if there's ever, if you're playing with it and it becomes I don't get this. I don't understand this. This is a whole bunch of jobbly, goobly, goop words that I don't even understand. And how can I write something that I don't even understand? That's, you know, it's just, how can I adjust this? Is there anything here? What else can I whack out? How can I make this flow easy? Ease off. Don't fret with it. Go to a point where it does flow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
JW does answer his phone, does he not?
Mm-hmm.
When you get hemmed into a place of not knowing and don't have anything else to play with,
mm-hmm.
call his happy butt on the telephone and say, okay, either turn Ion loose on this, or Mr. Infinity, you play with it. This verb tense doesn't meet, and when it does meet, if I convert it to make it meet, the paragraph doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the old saying is two heads are better than one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's much better than the one you have being in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes the heat off you, the pressure off you.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's very abundantly clear that JW works different in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
He does work in a different way. But see, he's kind of in the same position. It's kind of like, well, we have this and this and this and this and this, and okay, that's that and that and that and that. We've got to get this done and that done and work on this and get this ready and get that ready. Kind of like you spinning around trying to make up things to do, which have to be done, but he could tell it. You and he could have a great pity party trying to figure these dynamics of what to do next business. And that's okay, because he has that too. And it's okay. But he just clears. He just clears. And sometimes he has felt your, what you call, well, he for sure felt Bob's vertigo business.
Mm-hmm.
And got a little bit of your, I don't want to call it swimmy headedness. We think, have you ever had a distended thought?
I don't know.
It was felt, for him, it was more like a distended thought.
Hmm.
He'd have a dream. He remembers every one of them, all of them,
mm-hmm.
which is worse than trying to remember them, in his opinion. But then he tries to fit it into something, some dynamic, and he can't exactly. Well, it kind of causes a distension in his frontal lobe.
Uh-huh.
And that becomes like a pressure between the temples
mm-hmm.
and up. And he has that too. But what he has to do is he's like, okay, brain of mine, what is it I'm thinking about you that's making me ready to take a 10 blade through my carotid artery?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then he just stops and he listens and then it gets placed.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it's finished, it doesn't mean it's done, but it's a place that it gets placed.
Uh-huh.
And it can sit right there, damn it, until it's ready to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
And that releases the pressure for him.
Ready. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here's the other thing. So, you know, we're getting great reactions from people having readings. Or it's like they've been on a drug. They just get, like the Australian guy said, you know, he's been euphoric for hours after it, and I'm pretty sure Sheila loved it. So I get from that we've got a pretty powerful force here with Ion, and we've had to adjust to it or absorb it and get cool with it over the last 9 months, and that's what you mean we've done. Considering what it does to other people, we've been living with it for 9 or 10 months, and that would put your pipes through the ringer, and you'd add new pipes. That's what you're saying, is that we're working with a big force here, and we're doing pretty good, considering...
Oh, doing fabulous, doing fabulous. But you have to consider the lilies and make sure there's balance occurring. Because there's nothing you have to do that would force you not to be able to go to the beach if you wanted to.
Right, so the ache in my left foot is not caused by the same pressure as Carolyn's balancing. I would think it might, but...
They're displaced. They're not the same.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make myself take on a bit of pain to balance off the bliss. Or...
Right, right. You'd rather go blissless than pain to get bliss.
Right, right.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that now. We're not fussing.
I go blissless, so I don't have the bliss-pain dialectic.
That's right, exactly. That's a nice way to...
So the... but, you know, we're just beginning with this ion phenomenon. It's going to delight, you know, hundreds of thousands or whatever people that interact with it. So pretty powerful thing to be navigating.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So ease off, Carolyn, and relax about your position.
Yes, sir.
No, put it on a shelf until you are happy with it. Good.
So, all right, so then to finish, so was Alexander Pope struck by the irony that he had, that he'd write a book complaining about the books and it would be a bestseller and spread the disease. Did he include that irony in his writing of the Dunciad?
Mm.
Probably not.
Not so much.
Did he realize it in his own life?
Certainly.
Later, at least, as it became popular. And was that a conundrum for him? Like, did he figure, well, I didn't foresee that, and now what? How do I...
Mm-hmm.
Did he get... He got to a conundrum like that?
Certainly.
He did?
Alexander Pope. You know, he realized the medium is a message, but you had to write a book to... You had to enhance the medium as a message to... He criticized the disease, thought he was offering a cure, but the cure just carried on like the disease. So he didn't resolve that. So then that would be an unrealized creation that later writers maybe that would lead up to James Joyce. You know what I mean? Did they work with the Pope's unrealized creations?
Sure.
And James Joyce would be one of them. Okay. And then McLuhan would certainly replay it or develop it himself. So now we can. Are you fading out? Is it time to go?
Don't know. I just.
Well, let me get a more exciting topic.
Yeah, and if Connie was sort of easing into that comfort place, it was just sort of too slow.
Mm-hmm.
And now it works under soda crackers. I'm gonna go find a soda cracker. That ought to be interesting for your recording on your iBox, wouldn't it?
Okay, so this somebody point. Oh, the woman who wants a reading. That's how I recognize Sister Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
That means I got an email from her. Maybe I could send an email to her. Sister, who's that?
Well, yeah, that's what you get replied to earlier.
No, but
no, that was within the Ionic system.
Oh,
this,
I see.
This would be from James, so I'll go forward. Questions for Bob. Jed. Lauren Green. There it is. All right, so now it's the same Sister Cecilia, but anyways, I'll do that. Okay, so question. So she brought in this point. Seen on radar. I'll bring it up. Seen on radar by thousands today over Australia. This is published January 22nd. And it's described as a contact in Australia just alerted me to what he describes as very strange weather taking place over the southwest of Australia. He told me to go to the National Weather Satellite images if I could not open the images he attached. By the time I discovered the email and checked, the largely clearly defined ring had mostly dissipated, but still was just visible on a time loop, which was spiraling counterclockwise. Interesting choice.
Time loop?
Yeah. The image above is what my contact sent me, which shows a wide band ring covering many hundreds of miles across the southwest of Australia, with a small dot, presumably a cloud, shown just right of center. I checked the site several hours later and played a loop for the radar, which was on the site at that time. The radar confirmed the image above and showed the ring fading, but still visible over a period of a couple of hours. Regrettably, the loop could not be saved so that I could share it here. That loop is not now on the site, but the satellite image taken is very interesting. It shows very large counterclockwise rotation over West Australia, where the mysterious large ring had appeared. It revealed a small and brief appearance of a condensation trail formed off the coastline and from the center, what had been the huge ring, a series of three small spiraling arms. These arms can be seen moving out of the area and moving northeast. This is one of those rare occasions when I could buy weather experimentation effects or other experiments being performed by HARP. It is hoped to receive an explanation from the Australian Government Weather Bureau for these series of strange effects. And then he gets a response from the Weather Bureau. Do you know what I'm referring to, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to address the government response, but what is happening there? Anything worth noting?
Well, not what they're trying to assimilate, but...
It's not a HARP phenomena.
No, good gracious. They'd have to be marvelous creators to pull that off, wouldn't they?
No, they do. Ion says they can play with the weather, the HARP people.
Well, we are here, and yes, they can, but that's not what that is.
Right. I get you, yeah.
Okay, so
if
what is it?
If they could pull that off, they couldn't stop it, and it would destroy Australia.
Right, so what is it? In fact, what is it?
We're afraid to say, Bob.
No, don't be afraid. I may not be able to handle it, but I can live with it. Live with the incomplete handling. Go ahead.
Power, energy, from world to world, just like Carolyn sometimes gets full.
Right.
And you have the electromagnetic influxes from world to world.
So it's a materialization of what Nina and Fringe is concerned about?
Not exactly, but that's so close, it works.
It's an exchange going on between... Mm-hmm. It's the Norwegians mm-hmm. who went into the parallel mm-hmm. world and had a spiral effect. This is nature responding to a communication between...
No, this is nature responding to a buildup of electric or electromagnetic pulsing.
Between two creators in both worlds?
No, between two worlds that were already created by creators.
Right, not the humans, the physical worlds themselves.
Right.
Right, and it's not the colliding, but, I mean, Nina's worried about a particular kind of communication that's going to happen, the colliding.
Nina's worried about the words that came from Mr. Bell of the great storm coming.
Yeah, but it's a particular angle on potential communication between the two worlds. This mm-hmm. is a visible figure, a manifestation of a communication between two worlds. Is not having the Mr. Bell climactic situation, but...
Well, that's not even unfolded completely yet.
Yeah, but this is...
You can't really speak to that yet. We could, but then you'd be mad because we gave away the plot line.
Right, but Ion...
Ion Hitler.
Yeah, Ion talked about the increasing mystery landscape, portal realities being shown to us. This is the latest stuff. This is the latest stuff. I mean, I don't know if we ever picked it up before on satellite.
Yes, but it could never be put out.
It got put out this time.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it get put out? Because they decided we were ready for it? Or?
Nope. Human creators want to know everything.
So we...
They don't want to understand or deal with anything, but they want to know everything.
Want to know about everything.
Mm-hmm. Well... Yes, but they don't want to be responsible for what they find out, but they do want to know.
Right. It sounds like me. You say I emphasize knowing as opposed to being.
Mm-hmm.
Is that within the disservices of that, or that's... I have
not a disservice, it's just a contrast builder.
That's in my way I do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this has been seen before, and it got released by someone in the organization, so that it went out, or our own desire sucked it out of their secret files.
Maybe you got a 50-50 shot either way. Maybe a little of both, Bob.
Yeah, we sucked it out, and somebody responded and put it out. So,
mm-hmm.
but it is a phenomenon that does not fit into what our geophysical knowledge is. Just like at CERN, they can't fit the new phenomenon into their knowledge framework. This is something that we don't fit into, but once we acknowledge parallel worlds, we're seeing evidence of an interaction.
It's very logical, and you wanted to remember, so I guess it has to be on CNN before you're buying it, so...
Does that apply to me?
No.
Not so much, right?
Not so much, but you... But see, you wrap into whatever meme of the moment is, and,
yeah,
you know, so it comes and goes.
Right. So is there
that's not a negative connotation, it just is.
This is another, I mean, you got CERN proving there's no time. This is showing there's parallel world communication going on, two-world communication going on, right?
Well, but for the average bear, that there are two worlds.
Yeah, they don't see even that, just like for the CERN guys. What, there's no time? That's a problem. But for those that can stay.
Hey, how are we going to get paid if there's no time? We get paid by the hour.
Yeah. And, okay. Yeah, so in this case, it is evidence of inter-world communication. And, it's evidence of it. And I think we'll be seeing more of this, is what Ion says. We're going to see more and more of this.
We don't think, we know.
Right. Now, this image is not showing a problem, a negative situation.
It's just, yet.
Yeah, it's showing an interaction.
And yes, but see, that's, yes.
That does point to potential worries like Nina Sharp's.
Yes, but it turns the human creator, anything you don't understand instantaneously becomes an apocalyptic abomination.
Right.
And you won't have it any other way. I mean, we can send you the best of all that is, and then you say it's something coming to kill you in your bed.
Right.
And humans in general, not you specifically.
Right, right. And so this, the people who took the picture have seen this for a while. Are they puzzled and negative about it, concerned?
They just don't understand it.
But they don't see any negative connotations in it yet.
Hey, they're seeing northern lights in Los Angeles, and they won't admit that either.
Is that right?
But you can't do that. Well, it is. They take pictures of it, they make YouTubes of it, and then they can't say it's that because that can't be.
Right, because you're only supposed to see the aurora borealis up north, I guess.
Right.
So how come they can see it? That means the curvature of the earth is not...
No, the electromagnetic, which is what the aurora, the northern lights are, is a shifting of that electromagnetic refraction or friction that show up that way.
This particular, the aurora borealis in Las Vegas.
In everywhere.
Right. Can we relate the inner and outer and middle kingdoms to this phenomenon over Australia?
No.
That model?
No, you cannot. Let me tell you
That gets into the parallel world stuff.
That's right. So, see, there you go. And if you try, you shake yourself loose from the single tree.
From the what?
Single tree.
You mean if we try to get into the parallel world topic, we'll shake ourselves?
Yeah, you know, like the horses pull the wagon or the buggy? Well, the horses are hooked to the buggy by a single tree. And if you add parallel worlds to what you're asking about, you shake the horses away from the buggy.
Okay, you listening to this, Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah, this image of Australia,
yeah,
it's pointing to parallel worlds, communication, energy level. Okay.
In the other world, they're having the exact same opposite effect.
What would be the opposite?
Directionally
and invertedly.
But seeing the same circle.
No, it would be the opposite. It would be like an inside-out version. Or if you took a mirror image of the picture that they show you, that's what they're seeing from the other side.
Are they puzzled by it?
Yes, same as you. See, here's the thing, Bob.
You want to send me the Earl?
Let's just say this.
Yeah.
Parallel worlds are not far away. See, you give this experience like it's just like a million light years from here to here. We never said they were a long way away.
They're right in the room here.
Well, no. No, not quite that. See, because then you'll run with that. And we're not quite saying that, but...
It's just a shift of frequency. It's not distance.
Well... As long as you don't use time to gauge the distance by how long it takes you to get there, then okay. But if you have to apply a light year application, then you're screwed anyway. But see, no further from the stratosphere to the ionosphere, you could have another parallel world from right there.
No further than the stratosphere or the ionosphere, or the distance between the stratosphere and the ionosphere?
Yeah, 40 to 90,000 feet.
Yeah.
You can have another world. But see, when you say that, from a dimensional standpoint, they say, no, no, it can't be. But we're saying, yes, yes, it is. You just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, now, when you say an idea like that to me, it's not a problem, but because I don't have really any knowledge of any of this stuff. I haven't built up a framework for it. So.
I know, but we have to be soft because you're making it an archive.
You mean on this tape?
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying my way, it's almost like I don't care. So I accept what you're saying too easily. I don't have a concern. I don't have an image of the world. And then, oh, gee.
Yes, but you play with it, and then you have empirical references, and then you want to ferret it out. And we're just making the breakpoint so you don't get tangled up in your own knowingness.
And how are you making the breakpoint?
That between the stratosphere and the ionosphere can be another world, but not in your living room.
Right, right.
You can have a portal in your living room, but you can't have, like, from the basement, the first floor to the roof could be a parallel world. See, we're not saying that, because you'd tear that up.
Right, a portal is a way to a parallel world.
Absolutely, and that could be in your bathroom.
In the what?
Bathroom.
Yeah, no, okay, so that's the important distinction. There are portals, but the actual place you go to is somewhere near the ionosphere.
Well,
sort of.
Now, and we're not saying only there,
right?
But it can be as close as there.
Okay, good. So
now, that's the great storm that William Bell's talking about.
No, it's just there, but he's...
It will.
Okay, but it's the great storm. It's not the fact that it's only short distance from us. There's a great
it's
storm.
The fact that they're can collide.
Yeah, and that...
And the disturbance of the frequency level from the middle, outer, and inner kingdom crossing into a parallel world will cause those to merge. And you can only have one middle, outer, and inner kingdom, regardless of how many worlds are there.
Right, so I'm interpreting that he's concerned about that fate, but you're saying the fact that it's that close encourages that fate.
Exactly, because, see, it doesn't matter if you have 100 worlds, you still have only one now.
Right.
Well, how many nows can you have? No, just one.
Oh, that's what we were going to do before, the past now and the present now. But before we get into that, Carolyn, so we the other day did the Three Kingdoms, and then Ian said, well, we're going to bring in the parallel worlds in a later session. You're not ready for that. Well, this image, you know, shows right up to sort of lead into it.
And made you ask.
Yeah, made me ask. And
because you wouldn't know or care either way. You don't even have a dog in the fight. You just found it interesting, the anomaly of, well, now we know what they think they know. Now what's real?
Right. And so looking at that spiral image in Western Australia, it's not a portal. Not a portal.
That one is not a portal or the afterglow of a portal. It's just
the expression of an exchange of energy.
Would you call it a microchasm?
Microcosm? Or chasm?
Well, we were saying chasm as in a distance between two sides of a big hole.
Yeah, because you can go millions of miles out there. If it's just in our ionosphere, that's pretty close in cosmic.
Well, it's closer than you're giving. You don't have any concept of that.
Right.
So to say that puts it in a pinnacle point of space. And that we're saying it can be as close as that. As close as. It doesn't have to be, but it can be as close as that.
And so
where's heaven? Heaven, Jesus is coming from heaven. Where's heaven?
Okay, hold it. So,
you don't know that either. That's a parallel world.
Right, and the...
Right?
Yeah, you mean it is, or...
Yeah, it is.
Is it in the non-physical?
Well, yes, Bob.
It's one of the levels of heaven? No.
Well, we're talking about all of heaven. All the levels of heaven fit into heaven.
Right, is that what we're calling a parallel world, these levels of heaven?
We never have ever one time ever before, but we just did then.
Okay, good. Okay, so that's a new dynamic. But the...
And then there's a song. Look this one up. Look this one up, you'll love it. It's oldie. Heaven's Just a Sin Away.
Right, and, but what we just sang...
No, we're just saying look that one up and listen to it. It's kind of great fun.
Oh, okay, I don't have to do it now.
No, you don't have to do it in a second, but it'll explain what we're trying to get you to the place of potentially embracing a little bit.
Okay, so the...
We're leading the witness, Bob.
Yeah, you've been doing that the whole 9 months, right?
No, we sure have, and we've enjoyed the interaction. And you're such a quick study, it's getting easier and easier and easier. You don't let much slip by long.
Yeah, I may not know anything, but I'm pretty good at catching up.
Knowing what you don't know.
Tuning in and faking knowing what I don't know.
Figuring out what you didn't know you wanted to know.
Right. Okay, I didn't know it. Okay, so the... I'm talking about these two worlds.
Carolyn, soda crackers work great.
They work great on me or on her?
No, they work great on her.
Okay.
We had Ritz crackers. JW was pandering for Ritz crackers and Dr. Pepper, and he's just all right as rain.
Okay, so he was picking
up... So that's your answer, Ritz crackers.
Yeah, he was picking up on her craving.
And engaged it, and
like it.
We're back.
Oh, I see. Okay, so so you got this parallel world. So I didn't want to get into it, but now we're getting into it.
Well, because that's why we tried to make this a free night, so you wouldn't be limited to certain topical,
right.
Categorical.
So I could catch up with where we could go today.
With the little string stuff that you're like, well, what about this? Well, what about this?
Yeah.
Because we're trying to get Carolyn to put things on the shelf until she gets to them. We're trying to get you to clean your damn shelf off because it's getting too crowded.
Right, because I don't get to it. I sort of don't get to it.
Yeah, and then what happens is then you got to straighten the shelf.
Right.
I mean, that makes you crazy. Well, Carolyn doesn't want to put it on the shelf. She wants to get it done and out, done and out, done and out.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good parallel.
Okay, so we've arrived.
Pardon the pun.
But there was a thought you were saying. Is this parallel world communication getting more visible or more intense due to the thinning of the veil?
Yes.
All right, so that's another. So we have.
And it's on you, and it's on you like a bad haircut.
You being me,
you
Bob?
You humans, it's on you like a bad haircut. Daily, as you start writhing in this knowingness that you don't have a clue about, it's going to become more and more clearly presently evident that there's something else going on. And we're here, right here, right now, to tell you, fasten your seatbelts, because it's a-coming.
Right, and we have Ion, that's the most important news broadcaster, to tell us as we're going, for those that are lucky enough to tune in to find out what's going on.
Yes, and those non-physicals, the resonance that we spoke about months ago, like it was, is coming into your nail.
What are those non-physical, you mean those that listen to us, or?
No, Bob, you wanted readings, and there was no readings.
Right.
No readings. You couldn't give them away. And now, all of a sudden, every time you turn around, you're having one like every day.
Right, but the...
Boom, 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 boom,
I see that Carolyn can put things on the shelf a little more because we've gone through the 9-month course. We're ready to go public. We get some of the basics so that we will understand the questions that will come up in the listeners. And
well, there's very little that they've come up with that you haven't embraced.
Who's they? Okay. The listeners, yeah. Yeah. Well, was I supposed to eat that chicken, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
That was good. So
we eat chicken. He's like, was I supposed to? Because it's good. It's gone. So yeah, was I supposed to? That's right.
Yeah, no,
too late now, Bob.
Yeah, I did. But just checking that it usually is prepared more. There's other stuff. So it was just raw chicken. So I assumed it was for me. And I'm just checking. Yeah,
you
I knew
didn't
it was
eat
for
raw
me.
Chicken, did
I
you, Bob?
Knew if it was really. If I didn't know, I wouldn't have eaten it.
Oh well, no, you'd have asked. Do we eat raw chicken, Karen? No,
yeah.
Bob. We don't eat chicken tartare.
Okay, so the thinning of the veil. We've talked about how it affects the magma, and the in the,
the
earth.
That's the inner kingdom.
Yeah. Well, the magma and the mantle and the crust, doesn't it affect at all? Or is it
me? Well, that's not what you asked. So we answered what you asked.
Right. So the thinning of the veil is affecting the earth reality. And then...
Well, now...
No, we got that. We got that.
Yeah, but don't... But please, please be easy, because you're categorically saying that one instance affects all three kingdoms, and we're saying not necessarily. But the first question that you asked was that the thinning of the veil is affecting the magma.
That's the inner
kingdom. The inner kingdom, and we say yes. But it may not necessarily have any, what's that word?
I don't know.
Any interaction with the outer kingdom.
Right, and now...
However, it can, but not necessarily, not an if-so facto anomaly. Good.
This parallel world...
Okay.
Image we have is showing the thinning of the veil's effect on the outer kingdom. You like that?
Mm.
The parallel worlds would be included? No.
Yes.
Well, there we come to the point you were going to tell us if they do or not relate.
Right. If they can, yes, they can. Do they every time without fail or exception? Not a chance. Because there's much going on in your outer kingdom that you don't have a clue.
Right.
There's much, you know, you can't even find on the crust of your planet, you can't even find the stuff that's there already that you're just now getting around to noticing to find that you didn't know was there, that was there before, and was there before you found the other stuff that is. And you see, that's just a constant dog chasing his tail. But then you use what you find in the outer kingdom to then change the relationship between you and you in the middle kingdom. You look at things differently once the outer kingdom starts dragging shit home that you got to deal with.
Right. So the...
Global warming, global cooling.
But this image, this image we're seeing, that's an image of our middle kingdom now.
Well...
No, it's the crust.
For you, in those that see that, yes. But if some do not see that, then the answer would be no.
Mm.
Because they don't have it in their knowing place to include it in their middle kingdom. Now, they could have a feeling place in their inner kingdom regarding it.
Mm.
The plants and the beast. You know, why do dogs howl at the moon? Because their non-physical resonate with that place. So many feel it, and they do, and they don't know why. Well, the same thing can be true with these anomalies that you're discussing, and this is just one of hundreds coming that would cause a feeling place that you would even engage, because you get lots of emails that you don't look at and don't be bothered with and don't give attention to. You know what I mean? Some of the frou-frou, hooey stuff, I mean, the energy it takes to figure all that out. It's like Carolyn with her 14,000 emails a day. You know, some you got to give attention to, and some you're like, what the hell is this? Click, delete, we're good. Well,
but we're not talking about the ion ones I check on.
Well, but it's relative. But I'm just saying, like the engaging of individuals. You know, some people just become chat hounds, and they want a reading, and then they ask 900 questions on email and want an answer, and then they go, thanks, I'm going to have a reading very soon, but I really can't think of a question. Well, you've already asked 900, so you should have a question.
Right. Yeah.
So, that's all right, but that's just trying to ease into this place so they don't have caveat emptor as a problem with their ionic reading.
Well, I didn't get that lesson. What's easing in? All their questions? Easing in? Okay, so the...
Because of caveat emptor or buyer beware.
They're worried about that. Okay, so what... So we were just saying before that the much is going to be manifested and... Oh, yeah. So the Norwegians that went into a parallel world and then the spiral showed up in the sky.
They're not back yet.
Yeah, that showed up because of the thinning of the veil. In other words, it might not have shown up 50 or 1,000 years ago because the veil wasn't thinning.
When was that?
Right, so, but Okay, but that's that, no, we hadn't thought of that. That's we're going to see phenomena, strange phenomena like that. Like they have portaled into the other world several times before, and that image did not show up. You know what I mean? But it showed up this time because of the thinning of the veil and the changing of quote matter.
Well, see, we would say your baseline of your statement is absolutely true. But people have been parallel worlding forever, and there's been other anomalies that would show up.
But there were no cameras to photograph it.
And no askers to wonder about it.
Yeah.
Then they would just build, if that happened in Europe, in their ancient past, if that's what you want to call it, they'd build a god to it.
Right, to the phenomena.
Yeah, they'll make a statue to capture it. This is how this lined up, and this is what this was about, and blah, 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 blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
And this is a holy place. This is sacred ground. This is something special, special resonance within the planet. Well, the human creators can subdue that any way they want to. Okay, and you know that, but to say that now all of a sudden all these anomalies are just now, first time ever, no.
Right.
It is the very first time ever you're noticing it.
Right, and the media chip landscape helps that to be seen in the chip technology, and ion shows up to be noticed too.
Well, yes. Hey, Carolyn.
She's watching a movie and eating, but before we get to her, hold that thought. Is ion maybe the major strange phenomena to show up, in parallel, juxtaposed with all this other stuff that's going to happen? Because it's like all the strange phenomena is coming, and ion is at the center of the strange phenomena, reporting on it. So it's like it has a unique position.
We're trying to file off the rough edges regarding it so it doesn't catch you human creators that you're creating unaware.
Yeah, but all this phenomena is going to happen and is happening. And what people eventually will say, wait a minute, we got this phenomenon that's on the radio every week that can explain all this. What is that? You know what I mean? There'll be that kind of pondering. In other words, it's like Alexander Pope complaining about the books, and then he's a book himself. Ion is describing the strange mystery landscape phenomena that's becoming known, and it is the strangest mystery landscape that's available. you can follow that thinking, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And have no problem with that because it's vaguely specific enough to apply to every situation, and any time it works for everybody, then it's likely going to work for you.
Right.
Good.
Let me try to get. It's funny. She's watching the movie so intently, can't see me waving at her. Oh, she sees me. Ian has a question.
What?
Ian has a question for you. Or a statement.
Hello.
On your left foot.
Yeah.
Extend it out.
Hi.
Kind of like you, so it would be as flat as it can be.
Yeah.
And that's not painful.
No.
Okay, now pull it up and pull your big toe as close as you can to your nose with your leg extended.
Yeah.
There, you feel it, right?
Nope.
Pull your big toe up and then stretch your foot up tighter.
No, it's not the Achilles. It's just when I walk, it'll pull on either side of the heel, the protruding heel. It's not on the back of the heel. It's on either side of it.
All right, if you want to play that way, then take your... Take your foot and kind of make it as straight as you can, and then take your big toe and turn it toward your right foot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that puts a stretch on the side of the outside of the heel, but not painful.
Is that more sensitive than the inside?
Uh-huh. Right. It is? Yeah, that's where the original pain was.
I understand. Okay, now take your big toe and point it to the left.
Nothing there.
Well, now, wait now. We're not through. Now pull your toe up towards your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And to extend it, turn it, stretch it. But you do feel a little on the outside.
Yeah, a little. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about when you're bending it towards your right foot and then wiggle your toes? You know how you kind of roll your toes and move them up and down in an orderly fashion?
Maybe, yeah.
When you get some pressure on your foot, like if you don't have pressure, bend it a little bit more, and then wiggle it.
Yeah. I mean, that puts the stretch, intensifies the stretch just a little. But, I mean, it's just that I feel it. It's not painful. It's only painful when I walk.
Okay. Play with that when you think about it, that stretching thing.
I've been trying to stretch it, that's true.
Just to help you. The only thing is with you, you don't want it to get stiff.
Yes.
That's all.
Okay.
You're limber as a dish rag now, so you can't get much more limber, but if you start favoring it, you'll have residue.
Exactly.
And that'll be something to have to get over, so right. We were just...
Thank you.
Certainly. Sorry.
Thank you.
Back to the flick.
Okay, Doug. Thank you. Bob?
I think we definitely don't want to go into the parallel world implications tonight. It's too late.
I think to get a full schism, we concur.
Yeah, and so I'll write a note on that, and that includes the topic of the past now and the present now that you wanted to talk about. So I'll put that in. We'll call this. So I'm getting emails from Ion. They're not coming from JW because he's not really doing much on his computer lately. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, it's Ion using his computer. Okay.
Well, we don't know. Are they coming from JW? Are they coming from Ion?
No, they're coming from Ion. And they often have Ion, JW's email is where they're sent from. But it's proven that it's not JW sending because he's not on his computer much.
Right.
And he ain't looking for stuff, the news stories.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, so we have right in past now. And is it called present now? The other one, present now? You know,
yeah.
Past now, present now, and
future now.
And future now, and then I'll put in parallel worlds in relation to the three kingdoms.
Okay. Any of our emails caught your fancy?
Yes. Okay. Let me just put this. So parallel. Parallel world, what was it? Parallel world three kingdoms in relation to parallel worlds. So I just have that as a reminder. Now, you've sent. I made note of them. You sent the who. Did who exaggerate the H1N1 virus? That was one from Ion.
That's your World Health Organization.
Yeah. And I think that was the main one recently from Ion. We haven't dealt with it. There might have been another one, but I guess we'll have to just check my other list from Ion. Did the who exaggerate? Okay, we got that. So that was the latest. Then you go into trash, and there'd be old Ions. And thinking of asking about some people.
Pretty rough.
Okay, so you have this, the Greek bankruptcy looming, and we talked on the show yesterday how they were discussing it at Davos behind the scenes. How is that discussion going?
Let's see.
Are they coming up with some ostensible way to look like they typed through it?
No, not so much yet. I mean, but they're busy at it. They don't really care what they discover. It's the outside world that affects things. They're just doing what they do, and trying not to get in harm's way from the information superhighway.
And that's what would, I mean, that would be the chip body pointing it out, and that they're not encouraging the pointing out of it.
Right.
And they can function as long as the chip body doesn't point it out?
Certainly.
Yeah, so they know it's there, discussing it, but they're not going to deal with it.
Right.
But it will sneak up. So, okay, so the Bible has the book of Revelations and all this phenomena that comes during the Armageddon or the apocalypse. It does not include the weird phenomena that's coming, as you're saying, with the thinning of the veil. There's a lot more stranger phenomena than documented in the Bible, in Revelations. You would agree.
Sure.
Yeah, so... okay, I'll just check my file to see if it reminds me of anything that we haven't touched on, because I think we may end soon. I don't see. Okay, so the White House listened to our show last week. Ion said there was somebody in the office, White House, was listening. How did they report it? Did they report it to anybody? Did they get anything out of it?
Of course not.
Yeah, James thought that the reason they listen is they know JW is doing this work and they're curious about JW because they know of JW. Is that a factor in why they're listening to us? No, it's not that. They're hearing about us from another way, another aspect, and find it an interesting... It's like a pet rock. For them, it's the latest pet rock and
absolutely
fad, and they're monitoring to see what strange stuff is said.
Yeah.
But they're not putting it in the... What's said is not being put in their reports to Obama.
Yeah, because they'd just be tearing up their business to be tearing up their business.
Yeah. Tearing up their business to be tearing up their business.
If they gave the information out, they wouldn't get their funding to complete the rest of the story.
That's interesting. There's no money because no one will reveal what they're actually doing because they have a concept of, well, that's not acceptable. So if they got over that, then they announce it, and then they get their money, and the economy would flow a little. So that's the basis of the new economy is your spiritual gifts, acknowledging your spiritual gifts.
Hooray.
All right, so I think you're waning, so I think we'll go. I think we'll make this the wrap-up. Thank you very much, Ion.
Very, very, very fun. Great. And it was a nice, fun, easy flow show.
Yes, it was a bunch of loose ends got tied, and it was fun for Carolyn to get helped.
Yes, and... we've enjoyed playing, and we thank you and appreciate you more than you know for playing with us.
And it's 222. I mean, the length of it.